Cornucopia Radio presents.
Hello, and welcome to A Little Bit Racy, the improvisation comedy panel show that you just couldn't make up. I'm your host, James Cottle, and you may remember me from such classics as A Little Bit Racy Series 1 and A Little Bit Racy Series 3. We don't talk about Series 2. In the show, panelists race against a time limit of just 3 minutes to improvise their way to a destination. They begin from different starting points and use an assortment of randomly assigned objects, companions, and modes of transport, but they must keep all of them with them when they travel. They also have to overcome another panelist, who will improvise obstacles to try and stop them. Please welcome the worst tribute band of the Jackson 5 ever. It's our four panelists, Marcus Newman, David Ruddock, Bobby Anderson, and Tom Harrison. So let's see what the challenge is in round one. Pizza, pasta, Neapolitan ice cream. Danny DeVito's got them all. And he's selling them on the new Italian food channel, Stuff Up Your Face. But there's something wrong. You notice the glowing beauty spot on his temple is moving. Oh no, it's a laser sight. You must race to the TV studio in LA to save your demure friend from assassination. So, attempting the challenge first will be Marcus. Your object tonight is a tub of glitter. Your companion is a judgmental barista. Your mode of transport is a morph suit covered in wheels. And your starting point is being ejected from a pool party at the Playboy Mansion in Kazakhstan. So best of luck to you, Marcus, trying to get to LA. And best of luck to you, David, throwing whatever obstacles you can in his way. Marcus, your time starts now.
So obviously I was ejected from the Kazakhstani Playboy Mansion by Kazakhstani Hugh Hefner. He has one of these one of those comical signs that says, I don't swim in your toilet, so don't pee in my pool. I didn't read that and peed in his pool. So he kicked me out. Where upon the roadside, I find a very handsome but very judgmental barista wearing a morph suit made of wheels. And I managed to bargain my way into his morph suit with him. It's a large and we're both mediums.
Can I just ask before you go, who's on front?
Obviously me. I'm the directions and he's the steering. I offer him at least a third of the tub of glitter once we arrive at the destination.
What possible use could he have for glitter that he would sacrifice his life for you?
Some fancy art on top of a snobby coffee.
Sounds about right, yeah.
There's the transatlantic... No, not transatlantic. What's the railway that goes through...
The Orient Express.
That one. I'm going to get onto the rails of the Orient Express and just sort of lay down in our suit full of wheels and just hopefully this is going to take us probably through mainland Russia. Russia's not an island, so it's all mainland.
As you approach the border, the Russian authorities stop you. They want to tax you on your glitter bucket import.
Ooh. I turn to the barista and I say, listen, mate, how's about you do us a favour here, fancy making us a latte for this fella? And he goes, a latte? What are you talking about? Right. I do premium coffee and nothing less. And I say, okay, make him a premium coffee and we'll get through this border. And he makes him a premium coffee. And the Russian man goes, oh, wow, this is lovely, but in a Russian accent. And we get through the border, and now we're into Europe. Amazing.
1 minute left.
Oh, dear. So we're just hurtling along the railway that connects the entirety of Europe. Several miles an hour. all the way until we get to France, where...
By this point, some of the wheels on the morph suit have started to burn down and grind down, and now you're just making sparks over, which sets the morph suit alight with both of you in it.
I sprinkle some of the glitter over us because, as everyone knows, glitter is flame retardant. And it's still on our person, so I'm not breaking the rules. And once we're in France, we get onto a ferry that will take us all of the way across to England. And in England, I will commandeer from the...
the people there, the poor people.
Yes, I can't think of a single city in England at all. Bristol, let's say Bristol.
10 seconds left.
And in Bristol, I decide that actually maybe I want to be a judgmental barista.
That's the perfect place to do it. Marcus Newman. Very good stuff. We're now moving on to David, who will be trying to get to LA. Your object tonight is a Nokia 3310. Your companion is an adorable puppy that thinks it's a lion.
I won!
Your mode of transport is a teacup from a teacup ride. And your starting point is tied to a board facing a blindfolded knife thrower in Mumbai, India. So, best of luck to you trying to get to LA. David, your time starts now.
I'm going to get the obvious thing out of the way first of all. They throw the knife and it ricochets off my Nokia 3310, thus saving my life and allowing me to compete. Otherwise, this would be a very short episode. So then, I make my way from Mumbai, and I know on an atlas, everything is sort of geared towards this way, where the main mass of land is on the right and America's on the left, but I'm going to buck the trend and go off the edge of the map to the right. So I'm going to head towards China.
Oh, okay.
Yeah?
Mix it up.
Yeah, you've never seen that before, have you, James?
No.
Yeah, I'm clever like that. So then, any obstacles I find in the way, I immediately abscond with my cute, adorable puppy. And if it doesn't work, first of all, then it bites their legs because it thinks it's a lion.
Okay, but there's a group of Chinese schoolgirls, all of whom are adorably in love with your puppy that thinks it's a lion and want to make a YouTube video of it.
That's fine because my giant teacup is stationed nearby, and I throw the puppy into the teacup and all the girls can no longer see it because they're so short and small. Because they're young, they've got very short attention span, so they go and YouTube something else instead. So then I hop into the teacup with my Nokia 3310.
Why don't they YouTube this? This sounds awesome.
Because they're children and they're amazed by chocolate. They're not going to be overly surprised by a giant teacup and a puppy. When they can just look up the sky and go, oh, it's a cloud, oh my God, it's amazing. So I've got my Nokia 3310 and I call someone to come and pull us along.
Because who do you call?
Batman.
Then you find out he's not real.
That's always my first port of call when someone says, think of someone quick, Batman. We call the local Chinese authority and say, there's a Western menace in your country, you should get rid of it.
How full is your bank account? Because this is an international call. So.
Well, luckily, I am a millionaire. And that's how I circumvent this. I just do this for laughs and giggles, you know. Travelling across the world doing absolutely inane projects for James Cottle.
It's how we keep the show going. 1 minute left.
God, I'm still... okay, so I'm being pulled along by the Chinese authorities who are desperate to get rid of us because we represent everything that's wrong with the West. You know, giant teacups and puppies. when we get to the coast of China, we then put our teacup onto the water where it floats and I get everything on board and I start paddling my way across the ocean.
Are you getting taxed on this? Because it's a China teacup, so it's therefore an export.
Ah, God. Well, they are very very pliable people, the Chinese authorities. They accept my millions of bribes. This isn't racist, this is right. And I make my way across the ocean towards... Why do I keep bringing this up? I'm not a racist. The man... If I keep saying it, it becomes true. I mean, it is true, but I have to keep reminding people because I make my way towards the LA.
10 seconds left.
And we get to the coast in my teacup. We bound across onto the coast and we do the thing with Danny DeVito where we save his life.
Well done, David Reddick. I don't know if you could have possibly won that following that little admission.
Not a racist. No.
Fantastic stuff from our first pair there in round one. But now it's time for our second pair. And attempting the challenge first will be Bobby. Your object tonight is a bazooka that shoots catnip. Your companion is a dodgy market trader. Your mode of transport is a wagon pulled by flamingos. And your starting point is competing in the Miss Universe pageant in Vienna, Austria. So, best of luck to you, Bobby, and best of luck to you, Tom. Trying to stop him, Bobby, your time starts now.
So I finish off my final act, beset by flamingos and cats. And the judges cheer, the audience cheers, and I'm declared victor. At which point I remember seeing the dot on Danny DeVito's forehead, and I launch myself out of the stadium towards the local train track.
The only problem is your dodgy trader is so filled with the essence of celebration that he's knees upping. Well, more specifically, he's knees upping, he's knees downing, he's knees round and rounding.
I will have to pick him up and simply hurl him atop some of the flamingos as I jump aboard the rest, and we travel west towards the western coast of France. Not the bit where it hits Spain, the specific coast. Now, as everyone knows, flamingos can swim.
I'm fairly sure that's true, yeah.
Yes. Excellent, thanks, I'm glad. And, and astride are many flamingos, followed by many cats. Myself and my dodgy trader begin flowing across the Atlantic, aided by whichever way the current goes.
The Cockney trader, in attempting to tinker with the bazooka, because, you know, they like a tinker, accidentally fires it at your feet, and the cats just go completely crazy, and the flamingos, frankly, don't improve this situation.
Thankfully, I can distract them with my Miss Universe pageant crown. Huh? The sparkling glitter, which all cats are attracted to, begins to draw their attention, and I hurl it off into the ocean and they follow it. Don't worry, they'll be fine. From here, we approach the eastern edge of the United States and make land somewhere. Dakota?
No, that is not anywhere near. Let's say Vermont.
Vermont. Cheese. The cats are, the remaining cats are distracted by cheese. Or the mice that are feasting on the cheese, thereby ridding me of their menace entirely. Me, the flamingos, my bazooka that shoots catnip, and the Cockney market trader.
Yeah, I made him a Cockney. Deal with it.
1 minute left.
The weirdest assertive thing I've ever said. The problem is, though, is it's been found out that he's actually been swindling people as you go. So you're finding yourself being chased by a, like, angry mob. I was trying to say something better, but yeah, an angry mob.
Reaching the western border of Vermont, I turn round and I point out to the angry Vermontese mob that I have solved their mouse problem by bringing all these cats, because we all know Vermont's famous for cheese.
Yeah.
The mice eat the cheese, I bring the cats eat the mice.
It's the circle of life.
It's beautiful. Similar cheese-related problems are solved as I cross the United States and find myself on the edge of Los Angeles.
Solving America's cheese problems is, you know, priority. Yes.
At which point I turn to my Cockney trader and I say, "You, left. Where is Danny DeVito?" And he points me in the right direction because he can. I make my way into this studio and leap in front of the laser.
Whoa, well done. Bobby Anderson, well done. Okay, now it's time for Tom Harrison. Your object tonight is a haunted fridge. Your companion... Yeah, that's happening. Your companion is a cheerleading squad. Your mode of transport is a grappling hook that's attracted to danger.
Ooh.
And your starting point is helplessly receiving a haircut different to the one you asked for in Glasgow, Scotland. Best of luck to you, Tom, and best of luck to you, Bobby, trying to stop him. Tom, your time starts now.
Okay, well, I'm getting the notorious Skrillex haircut, which is... It's kind of weird because I've been going bald since I was about 14, but we'll pretend in this fantasy world that I have luxurious locks. So I just sit it out because I'm not going to challenge a person in public. That's just not the English way, goddammit. And so I come out looking faintly ridiculous. I've got my my haunted fridge and my cheerleaders and my grappling hook.
The cheerleaders, realizing that the Skrillex haircut is like so 2000 and late, begin just sort of dispersing from your uncool aura.
I incredibly fear rejection, so this is really going to do me in. Okay.
One of them appreciates it, but the rest don't.
Well, maybe I could settle down in Glasgow. And no, I need to get out. Also, frankly, not sure what level of, like, school these cheerleaders are at. I open up the haunted fridge and I offer them some spooky hummus. To lure them back to my side, and we set off. I've got my grappling hook, which is attracted to danger, and a little known fact is that my middle name is Danger. So really it's attracted to me, but not in a way that shoots me in the leg and causes me to bleed to death. So,
the spooky pita bread, having formed a relationship with the spooky hummus, is yearning for its long-lost companion and begins banging on the inside of the fridge.
Okay, I root around in the haunted fridge and manage to find a mezze selection of spooky Middle Eastern treats. We got creepy falafel. We got terrifying pickled, like, chili things that are nice, but I don't know exactly what they're called. I completely lost track of what I'm into. Oh, yeah, so I keep going down.
One minute left, get going.
I'm not even out of Glasgow. I grappling hook a passing Goodyear blimp.
The most dangerous blimp.
And the greatest blimp, arguably. And surf that down towards the south coast, crossing the channel and landing in France, where I offer out a selection of terrifying and like quirky breeds to the locals to book passage on a ship heading to New York. On the way, I have a weird Titanic-style relationship with a cheerleader who I've established. They're college cheerleaders. And we're like, I'm the king of the haunted fridge. We make love in a haunted fridge.
Oh my God, get to America!
Yeah, I arrive.
10 seconds left!
And as I arrive in America, I figure, you know, maybe the life of an immigrant is the one for me. Maybe I'll...
Wonderful.
I think that was actually even more of a train wreck than normal for me.
Excellent stuff from both pairs there in round one.
But now it's time to find out who is moving on to round two. And those two people are Marcus and Bobby. Time for round two. In this round, the winning panelists must improvise their way to a whole new destination. They may use their object, companion, and mode of transport again, but this time they are allowed to dispose of them if they wish. However, the defeated panelists will try and stop them once again, this time using their own object, companion, and mode of transport to improvise obstacles. In order to prevent them from becoming the a little bit racy, famous foodie friend's funeral foiler. So let's see what the challenge is in round two. You arrive at the studio and tackle the gunman to the ground, allowing Danny DeVito to thank you and reveal the truth. He's being held hostage by the Sicilian Mafia, who, disgruntled with declining sales of Italian food due to gluten and lactose-free diets, have forced him to peddle their wares. This cannot stand. You must go to the Mafia King and make him sleep with the pigeons. In his super secret hideout in Sicily, near the coast, just around the corner from Tony's, up the hill and opposite Budgeon's. You know the one. So, attempting the challenge first will be Marcus, who, just to remind everyone, has with him his tub of glitter, his judgmental barista, and a morph suit covered in wheels. But now, David will be trying to stop him, using his Nokia 3310, an adorable puppy that thinks it's a lion, and a teacup from a teacup ride. Best of luck to you both. Marcus, trying to get to Sicily, your time starts now.
Having thanked Danny DeVito for putting me up for the night and feeding me well, I go out into the parking lot and spread some of my glitter on the floor, hoping to attract some local birds. And eventually, I assume a pigeon will come down and I trap it, ready to make the Mafia King sleep with it when I arrive in Sicily.
Following my instructions to the letter,
yes,
I like it.
I put the pigeon, I snap its neck and put it in my pocket. It didn't have to be alive.
A passing person who happens to be passing by is horrified terrified and points you out and screams, and all of a sudden your judgmental barista is very upset with you and points an angry finger.
I look at the end of the angry finger, a single tear running down my cheek, because I know that I've disappointed the one man who almost everyone else could possibly ever disappoint.
the one man you shared a morph suit with, let's not forget that.
That's true, and he's still wearing the morph suit, and I remind him of all the good times we had scaling along a railway. And he agrees to accept me for who I am, a flawed human being that just wants to go and save Danny DeVito's life. And being the Italian barista that he is, because most Italians drink coffee, he knows the perfect place where I can charter a hot air balloon in order to get to Italy via the sky.
On your way, you trip over a Nokia 3310 and break every bone in your foot.
I look at the judgmental barista and I say, give me the suit. which he does, stripping completely naked, and my mangled body just covered in wheels now. I ask him to push me down the hills that LA is famous for. Hoping
it's
that,
pretty flat, I think.
Oh, well, I'll get him to take me to the top of the Hollywood sign and drop me off of it. At the end of the day, I can't get any more broken.
Well, you land in a teacup, a giant teacup that's just perfectly placed to break your fall.
Cool.
1 minute left.
The wheels landing in the teacup build enough centrifugal force that I shoot up into the sky until eventually I've run out of air now and I'm just floating in space. Oh my goodness, what have I done?
I'm fine with this.
Oh dear. I'm just going to keep going until I hit a comet.
ricocheting you back towards Earth.
Oh, thank goodness for that. Whereabouts does this land me?
Well, let's just say just below Italy.
Oh, brilliant.
But you land on a puppy, an adorable puppy.
I couldn't care less.
Oh!
And I, using my one remaining solid finger, crawl my way up the south of Italy until I get to the boot.
10 seconds left.
And I touch down in Italy, in Sicily, and the Mafia King sees my dead pigeon and can't help but have sex with it.
Whoa, okay! Marcus Newman. Again, following my instructions to the letter, I suppose. Fantastic stuff from our first pair there in round two. But now attempting the challenge will be Bobby, who, just to remind everyone, has with him a bazooka that shoots catnip, a dodgy market trader, and a wagon pulled by flamingos. But now Tom will be trying to stop him using his haunted fridge, his cheerleading squad, and a grappling hook that's attracted to danger. Best of luck to you, Bobby, trying to get to Sicily. Your time starts now.
Right, so we're in the studio and we launch off out of LA, making a beeline for New York. Me, my companions, objects, and flamingos.
Why are you going to New York?
Ah!
Oh, that's part of your plan. Sorry, my bad.
Well, since you asked, we arrive in New York. Where?
Well, that was quite quick.
Well, he wanted to know. Where I ask my dodgy merchant to use his contacts in the underground to find the New York Mafia, who I know have a secret tunnel under the Atlantic leading to Europe.
The thing is, since emigrating to New York, and dating a cheerleader, I've become my dangerous alter ego, Cool Tom, who wears a back-to-front baseball cap and calls people jabronis. I'm there with like a crew, a West Side Stories crew, with a cheerleading squad cheering it on, and my fridge is opening menacingly, going evil, and the door is talking like a mouth.
Well, as we all know, Cool Tom's middle name isn't Dangerous.
Oh god, no.
So your grappling hook attracts the danger of the fridge to you.
Oh no! It looks like I'm going to have to eat my way out.
Whilst you feast on dangerous falafel, I make my way towards the underground tunnel of which I've been informed. Me and Dodgy Ken, as he's now known, zoom under the Atlantic and come out somewhere in the middle of Spain.
I'm now spooky ghost Cool Tom, my alter ego, and I cling to the bottom of actually, I don't know if you're on a vehicle, but I chase you down the Mafia tunnel, throwing celestial yakko at you.
As we come out in Spain, I fire my bazooka of catnip around the tunnel, attracting a horde of black cats who are spooky somehow, as we all know. They do something to you.
Black cats are spooky, but in such a large number and driven up by catnip, they're also dangerous. So,
1 minute left.
I propel myself into you, doing a flying kick, because that's what cool ghosts do, obviously.
You're a ghost, it goes through me.
Damn.
Me, the flamingos, and Ken, there's only two left. We've got one each. We launch our way across the continent, chased by a ghost. Thank you, Lee, you're scaring away all border patrol agents and such. We arrive in Italy and launch south-ish to Sicily. I'm going to go south.
I'm running out of things to do, so I instruct my cheerleading squad to do a dance number to cheer you on. Like, let's be honest. Let's be honest, you've won.
We arrive in Sicily. We make our way up the hill opposite the Budgeons, and we find the Mafia King. Dodgy Ken knows what a euphemism is.
10 seconds left.
And takes his flamingo, who forms out straight, and throws him at him, piercing his heart.
Wow, okay.
Nice.
Bobby Anderson. Very nice stuff there from both pairs in round two. But now it's time to find out the conclusion of this tale and who has won this a little bit racy. You bust open the door and discover the true identity of the Mafia King, a jacket potato wearing a fedora. He felt sidelined by the lack of interest in his starchy kind and saw a bit of himself in the potato-y DeVito. You feel sorry for a moment, then remember all the bad stuff he's done, and so you eat him with a side of beans. Oh, justice tastes good. And it's you, our winner tonight, Bobby Anderson!
Thank you. I'd like to thank my ghostly friend.
Rest in peace. Well, that's all we got time for on this show. I'd like to thank tonight's panellists, Marcus Newman, David Ruddock, Bobby Anderson, and Tom Harrison. I've been your host, James Cottle, and hosting this show is easily the third best prize I ever got out of a Kinder Egg. See you next time! Enjoyed A Little Bit Racy and would like to find out more? Follow us on Twitter at A Little Bit Racy and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/A Little Bit Racy.